Our series at the moment has been Love God, Love People. And that was our series through the month of November, and I'm stealing an extra week because I'm so passionate about this, the two greatest commands, to love God and love people. It sounds pretty simple when we say it like that, and it should be simple, but as we do with many things, we can overcomplicate it, and we can misinterpret it, and we can miss the mark. When thinking about these two commandments, one of the main ways I think that we can miss the mark is due to our interpretation of the written word. We can fail to understand who God is and therefore how to love others. We read the Bible, the written word, through our own lens, through a lens we have been brought up with, through a cultural lens, through a modern day lens, and we can miss the mark. In doing so, we do not love God and love others the way God would have us do. We shove verses down people's throats, and in doing that, in backing up our own ideas with verses or scripture, we can actually do the opposite of what was intended, and we can turn people away from God. We can make ourselves and others feel guilty, condemned, and judged. Today, we will begin, and we will only begin because it is such a big topic, but we will begin to re-examine the Bible through the lens of Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your written word. I thank you that we have it so easily accessed here in New Zealand. I thank you that it is bound and ready for us to read. I thank you that it is inspired by you, that it is full of such truth and wisdom and prophecy. And ultimately, Father, I thank you that it points us to you. So as we open it up today, Father, would you challenge our hearts to have that spirit of growth, that mindset of growth? In your name, amen. So as we open up the Bible, we all know where the beginning is and where the end is. We begin with Genesis and we end with Revelation. You may have challenged yourself over the years, as I have done, to remember all the order of the books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and so on. Even those who proclaim to be agnostic are most likely to know Genesis 1:1, possibly the most famous verse of the most well-known book of the Bible in the world. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. However, as a Christian, this is not where we start. We do not start in Genesis and then start in Genesis 1,000 or so pages later. Jesus is our Alpha and our Omega. He is the beginning for us. We don't start with Genesis. We start with Jesus. We don't start with Genesis. We start with Jesus. And from that lens and with that light, in the understanding of who he is and who he reveals God to be, we then read, interpret, and understand the scriptures. Some of the most controversy amongst churches between Christians comes down to the interpretation of scripture, of the written word. That's why we have so many denominations and people leaving churches and starting up home churches, because we fail to have that unity of understanding of the written word. Depending on the views and beliefs you hold to, you can use, and people do use, the Bible to defend these beliefs. This is actually, in fact, part of the reason I felt prompted to share about this today. Leading up to the US election, I went on social media and saw that two friends of mine, two girls that I went to school with, two committed Christians were having a full-on argument, comment after comment after comment after comment, back and forth to each other, not loving each other, on Facebook about who people should be supporting in the election. One was very obviously a Trump supporter and used scripture to back up her beliefs. The other was very obviously a Biden supporter and came back at my other friend and used verses to back her beliefs. The point is, it's not about being a Republican or Democrat supporter. It's not about being blue or red or whatever. The point is, you could be a Republican supporter and use scripture as your defense. You could be a Democrat supporter and use scripture as your defense. You could be a capitalist and use scripture as your defense. You could be a communist and use scripture as your defense. Back when slavery was prolific in America, scripture was read out to the slaves. Scripture was used to defend this belief. And there are many other examples. These are dramatic examples, I know, but we all need to be aware of the lens we are reading and interpreting the Bible with. Whether consciously or subconsciously, we need to re-examine if our own upbringing, the church we've been raised in, our culture, our political leaning, influences the way in which we take meaning from Scripture. The question we need to ask ourselves, I need to ask myself, and you need to ask yourself, am I reading this through the lens of Jesus? And in doing so, am I loving God and loving others? As St. Augustine once said, and I think it's going to be on the screen, whoever then thinks that he understands the Holy Scriptures or any part of them, but puts such an interpretation upon them as does not tend to build up this twofold love of God and our neighbour, does not yet understand them as he ought. So to begin with, let's just gain a common understanding about this book, about the Bible. We've first got the Old Testament. It's the first part of our Christian Bible, and it comprises of 39 books. It's quite small up there, isn't it? It is the Jewish or Hebrew Bible. Most of the books were written in Hebrew, some in Aramaic, between 1200 and 100 BC. It is made up of the Torah, which are the first five books of the Bible, the law of God that was revealed to Moses and recorded. It is also made up of many sacred writings, history, prophecy, and wisdom literature of the ancient people of Israel. The second part of our Bible is the New Testament, written originally in Greek, and this records the life and teachings of Christ and his earliest followers. It includes the four Gospels, the Acts of the Apostles, 21 epistles by Paul and others, the book of Revelation. Many people read the Bible in many ways, depending on their belief and their culture. We as Christians need to read it through the lens of Jesus. It's not the only way to read it, but this is how we need to read it. Now, it's important here to note that the Bible itself doesn't bear witness to itself. It doesn't say, believe in me, the written word. The Bible points to God, points to Christ. John 5:39, you have searched the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me, says Jesus. My three points are in fact three questions that we need to ask ourselves. One, how do we know to read the Bible through the lens of Jesus? How can we read the Bible through the lens of Jesus? And how does reading the Bible this way impact the way we live? Let's turn to Luke 24 to first answer that first question of how do we know to read the Bible through the lens of Jesus? Luke 24. So this is when Jesus has risen. He's been nailed to the cross. He's been to the grave. He's risen. And these two men are on their way to Emmaus. And they were recounting all that had happened in the past few weeks. When Jesus asked them what they were discussing, they were bewildered that he had not heard what had happened to Jesus of Nazareth. Yet Jesus replied in verse 25, we'll pick it up, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" Verse 27, "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." And we're going to jump to verse 44. "He said to them, 'This is what I told you when I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms.'" See, all scripture finds its fulfillment in Christ. If we can't see Christ in the scripture, then we don't have much to say about it at all. Verse 45, and I love this. "Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures." Their minds were opened by Christ to understand the scriptures, to then go into the Old Testament or the Jewish Bible and read it with this light. We as Christians don't read the Old Testament to interpret Christ. We look to Christ to interpret the Old Testament. See, the first generation of Christians didn't have a Bible bound and ready to go. The Gospels hadn't even been written yet, but they had Jesus as their anchor, their light. They had experienced either firsthand or had it passed down to them the power of this light, and this was their advantage point. This was the way they viewed the world. And it was through this lens in which they read their Jewish Bible, the scripture. We as followers of Christ don't start at the beginning. We start with "it is finished" and we work our way back. It is not just important that we read our Bible. It is important how we read our Bible. So how do we, second question, how do we read the Bible through the lens of Jesus? As we read through the Bible, we may not see Jesus' name until Matthew, but he was there right at the beginning. He was there at creation. Genesis 1:1, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." We know a little bit more now through Christ and revealed in John. "In the beginning was the Word, the living Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind." And just to make it clear, to hit the ball right out of the park, Colossians 1:15-19. "The Son, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. When we read through the story of creation, we see Jesus. Jesus is co-eternal, co-equal with the Father, and therefore all creation is the handiwork of Christ. Let's look at the story of Joseph. We see Jesus in the story of Joseph. Like Joseph, Jesus is the beloved son of the Father, who, although destined for great things, was first scorned and mocked by his own people, then betrayed and finally cast into a pit of darkness. But like Jesus, like Joseph, he was not forgotten. For as Joseph was raised out of the pit of darkness and exalted to the right hand of Pharaoh, Jesus was raised out of the pit of death and exalted to the right hand of God and given the name above every name, that is, at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, in heaven, earth, and hell, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Joseph forgave his brothers and said, "Fear not, I will take care of you." And Jesus as Savior forgives us and says, "Fear not, I will take care of you." As I said at the beginning, we will only begin to explore this today. These are just two examples, creation and the story of Joseph. You could go right through the Old Testament and see it through the lens of Jesus and how it points to Jesus. So, third question, how does this impact us? Reading through the story of creation, seeing how Jesus is revealed in creation, our actions are therefore determined. When Nate and Caden bring me their notes or their drawings, and at this time of the year, you know, teachers are taking all the artwork off the walls and sending them home in droves. And so when the boys come home with their artwork or their scribbles from kindy, they go straight to the pride and place of our home, where all good things are displayed, the fridge. Not necessarily because they are the works of Picasso, but because I love the creator. I love who created them. We've filled Nana and Granddad's fridge too. And they're serving as Christmas presents for aunties and uncles. It's fantastic. Creation is the best artwork. It is the best science. It is the best of the best. So how, therefore, do we treat it? Let's put it this way. If we were living when Jesus was living here on earth, we wouldn't go into his carpenter's shop and throw all our rubbish around and say, "Oh, well, it'll self-destroy in years to come." And knowing that Christ is in creation, in seeing Jesus in creation, our actions are therefore determined that we must treat creation and all that is in it with pride and place. Taking care of our environment, being good stewards of what has been entrusted to us. Reading through the story of Joseph through the lens of Jesus, we are reminded that trials and hard times will come, not because of lack of faith, not because of lack of doing things right, but that we will all face hard times where we are mocked and scorned and ridiculed for what we believe, rejected by those who should love us the most. Yet as we read through this, again, as we see Jesus in it at the heart of the story, we know that we are not forgotten by God. And therefore, our response, how this impacts our actions, is that we know not to grow bitter, resentful, and hardened by what we go through, but to forgive, to cast out fear, and to provide for those in need. And finally, let's go to Matthew 5, 17 to 19. I don't know that this one's up there, but you can turn in your Bibles. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. See, Jesus coming and Jesus' teaching did not and does not eliminate the Hebrew Bible from our consideration as Christians. But Jesus coming and Jesus' teaching does affect the way we read them, and it does affect the way we live them. They do affect the way we love God and love others. No longer do we use scripture to back up our own ideas and beliefs, to defend ourselves until we're blue in the face trying to argue with an agnostic or an atheist, but instead we read scripture to view Jesus and to get a better understanding of who God is revealed to be and how, therefore, we can bear the love of Christ to those around us. Amen.